During the last legislative session, Wyoming educators asked the legislature to use reserves to cover the deficit, but instead they stuck them with a $34 million funding reduction. Wyoming Public Radio's education reporter Tennessee Watson went out to see how three neighboring districts are dealing with this.
Every superintendent will tell you the goal is to keep cuts far away from the classroom and to hang on to as many teachers as possible. Contracts of teachers are due April 15th, so district school boards are in the midst of figuring out what else in their budgets can go. First stop on my tour to figure out what districts are thinking is Campbell County, where Superintendent Boyd Brown tells me,
"All of it's on the table."
He starts rattling off the possibilities. It's a long, indefinite list at this point, so I invert my question. What won't get cut? He takes me to the bus loop in front of Twin Spruce Junior High School.
That's a huge equity issue for making sure kids are at school and able to get the education that they need.
He's talking about transportation, which is close to 8% of his budget.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Who are the two Pierce kids? All right.
Superintendent Brown introduces me to Hope and Archie Pierce, who've just unfolded themselves from a 75-minute ride to school.
So you win the award for riding the bus the furthest.
Well, we live 2 miles away from the Montana border, so it's pretty far out there.
That's Archie, and his sister Hope explains their journey starts in a suburban because the bus can't get up the road.
We live on a hill, and it's sketchy.
Legally, schools have to provide transportation, but Brown is concerned that if cuts continue, the quality of education that kids show up for will begin to deteriorate.
We are at the point where, you know, we cut 10% 2 years ago, cut 10% out of our non-salary and benefits last year, and we're looking at cutting again this year. Pretty soon you can't cut outside of people. And when you start cutting people, you're cutting services.
Brown has asked his principals to brainstorm with staff about school-level efficiencies. The biggest surprise was hearing that a teacher suggested reducing the number of toilets and urinals as a cost-saving measure. But it's precisely that kind of creative thinking that's kept Campbell County's neighbor Sheridan District 3 afloat. I head west from Gillette past the coal mines into the Black Hills to Claremont to meet Sheridan District 3 Superintendent Charles Osgey.
We're one of the smallest school districts in the state of Wyoming. We currently serve about 100 kids.
We start off on a tour of the school. Osgey points out the library, the art room, and the multi-grade level classrooms.
Okay, so this is our multi-purpose room.
It's here that Osgey shows off his hard work to make his district run more efficiently in the face of impending reductions.
To be more efficient, as we're talking about, we reduced our custodial staff because I went to machines like these.
He points out two devices parked in the corner. They're basically mini street cleaners that allow staff to cruise the school, rapidly vacuuming up dirt and crumbs from snack time. Reducing custodial staff has kept teachers in the classroom. And since it takes a special kind of teacher to thrive at Sheridan 3, once Osgey finds a match, he wants to keep them.
So Mr. Doak is our Spanish teacher, so what class do you have in here right now?
This is Spanish 1.
Spanish 1. He's half-time foreign language, but he's also elementary certified. So in the mornings, he helps with the literacy blocks, and then he teaches Spanish to the 712 students in the afternoon. So
then we drop by what used to be the nurse's office, which is now called the first aid station.
So through some of the budget cuts and stuff we've done over time, we reduced the nurse, and now we have Joni, who does an amazing job. She does as an administrative assistant. She's the first aid station. She does a lot of things. She also delivers lunch to Arvada. So she plays multiple roles.
Part of what he's up against is the cost of doing business in rural Wyoming. He points out that everything from shipping supplies to hiring contractors to fix things comes at a premium.
We're out in the middle of nowhere in some beautiful country, but the cost of doing business is what we need to be able to tell the recalibration committee this summer.
He's referring to the group appointed by the legislature to overhaul the school funding model. When they meet starting this spring, he wants to see them improve something called the regional cost adjustment, but he's worried that recalibration might just bring more cuts. When I go to leave, I ask Osgey for his business card.
I buy this out of my own pocket. That's our cost-saving measure. You just buy it on your own.
That raises an important point about the ways teachers and staff personally absorb reductions. My next stop is the Bighorn School to meet Marty Kobza, superintendent in Sheridan 1.
Within the last 5 years in our district, our teachers have received a step in pay one time. and obviously looking at being the same way again.
And Kobza says take-home pay has actually decreased. He points specifically to the increase in the cost of health insurance, while the money allotted in the state budget for benefits reimbursements has stayed the same.
The one thing that kind of is frustrating to hear sometimes is when I hear certain legislators, as they talk about it, they say education needs to do its fair share. They need to take the cuts like everybody else.
His district has already gone down from a staff of 120 in 2008 to 91 this year, and they'll be at 88 next year. So what does this look like for teachers at the Bighorn School? I bump into Tina Moline in the parking lot. She teaches 6th, 7th, and 8th grade math, science, and reading. She also coaches two sports.
For us in the middle school, we lost two teachers last year. And so now, not only is there just more kids, there's more grading, there's more parents to meet with.
And less teachers means fewer hands for the things that keep kids excited about school.
There's the behind-the-scene things that people don't always think about. You see just a classroom teacher, but you forget about the concessions. You forget about planning things. And I really believe in hands-on things, and I like to take the kids out, and we all do. Everybody pitches in different ways to make that happen, whether it's donating time from their classes or, you know, going with as a chaperone or helping out with the fundraising. Everybody pitches in, but it's just one more thing added to everybody's load, you know.
But districts are funded to provide content in 9 key academic areas. All the other stuff that contributes to learning in a school falls outside the funding model. School boards will have to contend with what matters most as they finalize next year's budgets in the coming weeks. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.
A bigger conversation about how to prioritize education in the state will continue with the school funding model recalibration beginning April 3rd. Tennessee Watson will be following the story.